Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
So I will trust.
good morning. That song is a wonderful reminder that Jesus is always faithful. Faithful yesterday, and he's faithful today, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. I certainly like that song, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. And again, thank you so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. These are good days of ministry, although we are coming down to the end of another ministry year. And during the month of November, I am involved in revival meetings. This weekend, November 7 through 9, I'm in Kentucky, in Buffalo, Kentucky, at the Church of the Nazarene. And then next weekend, I'm going to be here in Indiana, Sunman, Indiana, at the First Southern Baptist Church. That's November 14 through 16. And then one Sunday morning service only, November the 16th. I'll be in Bellefontaine, Ohio at the First Church of God. And then I'll finish out our ministry year at Flintwood Wesleyan Church. It's an annual date for us. They invite us back every year for the first Sunday of Advent. That's November the 30th at Flintwood Wesleyan Church. So I do covet your prayers as I am traveling to these various places to minister the Word of God. I'm so grateful for God's faithfulness, for his faithfulness to provide for this radio program. We have been on the air now over 87 years, going into our 88th year of broadcasting the gospel through the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. This is a five-weekend month, and as many of you may know already, that means extra radio expense, so I do encourage you to write to us and let us know you hear the program and enclose a gift if you can. You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through PayPal or Venmo. I would just like to say again, as I did last month, for our listeners who listen to us on WSAT in Salisbury, we need to hear from our listeners there. We haven't received, I don't think, but one letter of response to help us stay on that radio station. And so we're going to have to reevaluate whether or not we'll stay on the station. And we'll look at that at the beginning of the year. So if you like what you hear on WSAT, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, I hope that you would write us a letter. Again, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Father, bless the program. Bless the listener. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
His life was pure and holy, and his grace was full and free. Now he bids for me to follow. I will walk with him below. I will lean upon his promise, just because he loves me so. He loves me so, yes, he loves me so. He left his home in glory to bring redemption's story, and now I'm gonna sing in glory just because he loves. I will trust and give him praise, and no matter where he leads me, it is best for me, I know. He will never, never leave me, just because he loves me so. He loves me so. Yes, he loves me so. Yes, he loves me.
love.
Oh, he loves me so,
me so.
Yes, he loves me so.
Yes, he loves.
Oh, he loves me so,
me so.
Yes, he loves me so.
He left his home in glory,
home in glory,
to bring redemption story,
in the story.
And now I'm gonna sing in glory, just because he loves me so. He loves,
oh, he loves me so,
me so.
Yes, he loves me so.
Yes, he loves.
Oh, he loves me so,
me so.
Yes, he loves me so.
He left his home in glory,
home in glory,
bring redemption story,
in the story.
And now I'm gonna sing in glory, just because he loves me so.
And if there's not been a real change, then you have to question whether or not you've really met him. There was a real change. First thing that happened. After I accepted Christ into my life, claimed to be a Christian, restitution. Boy, that's a term that's fallen on hard times. Restitution. I'd stolen from my father. I went off to Christian high school right after that camp meeting. My junior year in high school, the Holy Spirit had begun to deal with me about some things that I had done that I needed to make restitution for. And I knew that I had stolen from my dad so badly that I could have been arrested for what I had done. And one day I sat in my room in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I wrote my father a letter. I outlined how I'd stolen from him. I didn't remember how much I'd taken, but I'd taken quite a bit. And I sent that letter off to my dad, who was 40 miles away from where I was going to school. I knew the following Saturday that I would meet my dad. My dad loved Duke University football and basketball. We always had season tickets. And I was to meet my father to go to the Duke University football game that particular Saturday. It was a beautiful day. I recall my Uncle Ray and his son and my younger brother Leslie and I, along with my dad, we went to the Oak Room at Duke University campus and we had our lunch. And my dad was the usual dad that he always was. Didn't seem to be preoccupied with anything. I wondered if he'd gotten my letter. I wondered if he was going to say anything about it. And so as we walked back toward the stadium, my dad put his hand on my shoulder and slowed me down just a little bit. And he said, "Son, I got your letter." And this is what he said. He said, "If God's forgiven you for that, it'll never be brought up again. I forgive you as well." I felt as if I was walking on air. You see, there's a difference that comes into a person's life when they've truly met Jesus Christ. Things begin to change. You begin to make things right. You begin to look to him as your guide and as the one who is going to be the superior dictator of your life. If you know anything about the book of Genesis and Exodus and the children of Israel, if you know anything about their history, you know that they were bound in Egypt for 430 years. And you know that Moses was raised up from the backside of the Midian Desert to come down and lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Egypt has always been seen from a spiritual standpoint as a type of spiritual bondage. And so God knew that he had to get them out of there. He also knew he needed to get Egypt out of Israel. They had been in Egypt under a pagan culture for 430 years, and most of them knew little, if anything, about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he knew, I've got to get them out of there, but I've also got to get what's in them out of them. And once we are saved, once we are born again, he wants to get everything out of us that's not of him. He brought us out of sin.
to bring us into an intimate relationship with himself. And notice the focus verse that we read earlier, verse 4 of chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. When I was studying this and I came across that, I thought, whoa, that's out of place. That's not supposed to be in Deuteronomy. What's that doing in Deuteronomy? Because when Jesus was asked, Master, which is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he put an addendum to it, and he said, and your neighbor as yourself. I didn't realize it. Jesus was quoting Moses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength. It's a foundational requirement for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else is to interfere with that love relationship. I'm so glad to have Gretchen with me today. She doesn't get to travel with me, and I don't get to have her with me a lot in these days of ministry and traveling. But what do you think would happen if I got in off the road from a revival meeting and I walked into our little cottage over in Columbus, Indiana, and I get settled in my recliner and she brings me something to drink or maybe a piece of pie that she's baked for me while I've been gone, and she sets it in front of me and then she looks at me with that beautiful smile that she has and she says, Lane, do you love me? And I look at her and I say, Gretchen, you're an amazing woman. You're absolutely amazing. You never complain. You wait on me hand and foot. You pray for me when I'm doing revival meetings. When you go with me, you get involved in the ministry, you sing with me. And I just want you to know something, Gretchen. I like you a lot. How many of you know that's the wrong answer? That's the wrong answer. God wasn't interested in Israel liking him. And he's not interested in you and me liking him. He said, love me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. He brought us out of sin to bring us into an intimate relationship with himself. But notice something else. He brought us out of disobedience to bring us into an obedient lifestyle. The story, you see, our identity is developing as we get to know Jesus Christ. We're finding out how we're to live our lives, that we're to be obedient when it comes to following after the tenets of the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. He said, hear, O Israel, verse 3, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience, Deuteronomy 5:33. If you grew up in church as I did, we learned the Ten Commandments early on. And we know what they are. Thou shalt not. You know that thou shalt not. And there's one in there that we have misinterpreted. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, I grew up thinking and believing that means that I cannot say things that would dishonor the name of Jesus. I was taught early on in my kiddom years, you can't say anything that sounds like God. Slang, they would use that word. That's slang. You can't say, gosh. Sounds too much like God. Can't say golly. Sounds too much like God. Of course, there's the GD phrase that people will use, defaming the name of God. And while I believe we need to respect the name of God with our language, there's no question about that. But that's not what it means. In the original Hebrew, what this means is that you should not take his name and identify with it and profess to know him and then live in a way that discredits him. That's what it means. Thou shalt not take his name in vain. How many people profess faith in Christ, yet live a life that doesn't reflect Him? He brought us out of disobedience to bring us into an obedient lifestyle. And if you study their story, you'll discover that lack of obedience cost an entire generation the promised land. They were not able to enter into the promised land because they didn't believe. You remember, they got there first after 2 years to the border of the promised land, and they sent the spies in, and the spies came back, and 10 of the 12 said, there's no way we can take the land. Let's just elect a new ruler and go back to where? Egypt. And God said, all right. Everybody, 20 years and above. All the fighting men, you'll never see the promised land. So they wandered in the wilderness for an additional 38 years because of disobedience. But He brought us out of that to bring us into an obedient lifestyle. You remember what Joshua said when they came back around the second time? He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to obey Him. We're going to follow after His teachings. We're going to do what He wants us to do. You would have thought that after all God had provided for them, they would have no problem being obedient to God. I mean, He gave them protection, a pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, didn't allow their shoes to wear out. They had manna and quail from the sky. They had water from a rock. They had everything that they needed to survive. But they were continually questioning and disobeying. And God said, all right, if that's your identity, this is your destiny. He brought us out of disobedience to bring us into an obedient lifestyle. I'm going to venture out on a limb here. I fear that the reason so many people, and I have no data to back this up, it just comes from observation, the people who seem to have the most problems and cry out to God for deliverance are the people who live in disobedience most of the time. They're not living the way God tells them they are to live. And then they fall. Their lives are lives of disarray and confusion and chaos. And they wonder what's going on. Why is God allowing this? Could it be? It's because they've lived a life of disobedience. And they've not served Him the way the Bible teaches we're to serve Him. Just a thought. He brought us out of disobedience to bring us in to an obedient lifestyle. Storied identity. That's what we're talking about today. Our identity is totally in Him. And then, thirdly, He brought us out of the wilderness to bring us into a holy lifestyle. Again, the scripture in question, Deuteronomy 6, verse 18. You do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. As we noted, there is no question what prevented Israel from going into Canaan the first time. They were more interested in self-preservation than they were in obeying God. I believe that one of the greatest enemies of identification with Jesus Christ, total identification with Him, is self-centeredness. More interested in what I want rather than what God wants. Oswald Chambers said, we have the notion that we can consecrate our gifts to God. You cannot consecrate what is not yours. There's only one thing you can consecrate to God, and that is your right to yourself. If you will give God your right to yourself, He will make a holy experiment out of you, and God's experiments always succeed. Dennis Kinlaw, that great spiritual mind of another generation, who went to be with the Lord at the age of 94, he said, Satan disguises himself. Satan disguises submission to himself under the ruse of personal autonomy. He never asked us, Satan never asked us to become his servants. Never once did the serpent say to Eve, I want to be your master. The shift in commitment is never from Christ to evil. It is always from Christ to self. Instead of his will, self-interest now rules, and what I want reigns, and that is the essence of sin.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so that we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.